Our scripture reading this morning is Acts, the 10th chapter, 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the providence of Judea, beginning at Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God anointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testifying about him, that everyone who believes in him received forgiveness of sin through his name. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Teddy. I appreciate it. You know, it's funny, all the things as I'm sitting here that kind of run through my head. Generally, it's like everything that can go wrong and that I might have forgotten to do. Speaking of, Eric, did I mention there's a video after the sermon? Did you see it? Okay, good. That's the one thing as I was sitting there that went into my head that was like, oh yeah, did we talk about that? Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He has. And we are thankful to be here today. It warms my heart. I think this is the fullest I've seen this sanctuary since I've been here. And so it just warms my heart. Yeah. It's a good thing. COVID was challenging. COVID was hard. And I remember when I first came here, our first Christmas Eve service. And it was not this. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, this is kind of difficult. But that's, I think we have all began that slow climb out of COVID. All of us kind of personally, and our churches and businesses and organizations. And so it feels good to be here and in this place and to be with you all. If you're new to us today, let me formally introduce myself. I am Pastor Jim Voigt. This is only my second Easter Sunday here in Lebanon. My wife and I feel blessed to be here, First United Methodist Church, and in Lebanon. We love this community. We love the Ozarks because we love the water and we love the outdoors. We're water and outdoors people. We've got a pop-up camper, and we love spending time at our pop-up camper. I actually put new tires on her yesterday, so she is ready for another big season. So we love to be on the water. We've got kayaks. I love to kayak around. My wife and daughter, they've got paddle boards, and they're my paddleboard princesses. And so we like to get out there fishing, camping, hiking, being on the water. Lebanon is right in the middle of it all, right? Like, this is the beginning of all of it. If you are new today, so that's a little bit about myself, a little bit about us. If you're new today, you're looking for a church, I want to highly recommend this one. Go figure, right? The first thing that I noticed about First United Methodist Church when I came here is that the people here deeply love God and deeply love one another. And I see that within this congregation. This congregation is warm, it is kind. It is faithful, and they're a blessing to be around. I am also thankful, fortunate to have an amazing staff that I get to work with. This was a busy week for us, as you can imagine. And I watched our staff go over the top to get ready for this week all week long. They are hardworking, they are attentive, and they are incredible team players. And working together as a team is important to me. That we don't have any lone rangers, but we all know that we're in this together. And I saw that team mentality, I saw it pay off big twice this week. And some of you did too, right? Last week, we had Palm Sunday Cantata. Our choir directors, and they're also our primary instrumentalists, so these ladies are kind of their go-to for everything, Heidi and Rita, and they worked with around, I think it was around 20, it went to around 20 people that were part of last week's experience who sang and played instruments, and those two, you two ladies put together a beautiful sounding Palm Sunday cantata. It was absolutely beautiful last week. And all week long, I heard from people who said their whole week was just blessed by that Palm Sunday cantata that we had last week. And then, so we had that, and then on Thursday evening, Pastor Marcia Vincent, she put together a Journey to the Cross event. Where is Marcia? So I can make sure I'm looking at her. Oh, she stepped out. See, that's what she does. She's probably helping somebody. We had four groups walk through six different stations within this church. It was a walking experience. Pastor Marcia had, I think, around 15 people serving that night in order to make it a deeply meaningful experience. And I heard people say that it was wonderful. They felt ministered to by our people, the people of this church. So those are just some of the ways I got to watch our staff and church work together during the week. So behind everything that happens here at our church, there are our great staff, great church people working together to create opportunities, hopefully for all of us, to experience the love of God and the love of the church more deeply. And the two are just radically intertwined. And so I am thankful and blessed to be the lead pastor, to be celebrating my second Easter Sunday here at First United Methodist Church. I told you the kids were going to do their thing, right? Like I warned y'all. So it's all good. It is all good. If you are new here, if this is kind of your first or second time, most of the time I'm up here doing this. I like to let the scriptures do the heavy lifting. And what I mean by that is I like to take a passage and I like to teach a handful of main points from that passage is what I tend to do. I took some extra Bible study courses in seminary, fortunate to study under some good professors, and I did that so that I would hopefully pay better attention to what is being revealed in Scripture, that within the Bible there's something that God wants to teach us. The other thing I occasionally enjoy teaching on is probably what we would kind of call emotional health, or how we can live more positively in relationship to each other. And some of the challenging things we do around that is healthy boundaries and boundary setting, and also to work on reducing limiting fears. For example, one of my limiting fears is speaking in front of people. Right? I've had to overcome a real phobia of public speaking. And it's only by the grace of God that I come up here each Sunday and do this because he's called me to it. Because it's actually generally the last thing that I want to do. There are some people that love to get up in front of groups of people, and there are some people that endure it, and I endure it overcoming my own anxieties. Now, I have done, naturally, because of this, I've done a lot of research and study in my life around this kind of mental health, emotional health, because of the fears and insecurities that I've tried to overcome in my life and continue to try to overcome. And so I've learned a lot in the past 10 years, but most of what I've learned is that faith is the key to overcoming fear and insecurity, leaning more deeply into our faith. And so I tend to kind of preach that way, that that's what we need to do. So that was just a quick overview, right? I just want to give you a quick overview of some of the great things that are happening here in our church that you're welcome to be a part of anytime. You are welcomed here anytime, for those of you that are new guests to us today. But many of you already knew everything that I said because you're here most Sundays, right? Many of you already knew this. How many of you who are here today, you brought some family with you? You're here with family today. Okay, good. How many of you that are here with family today, you're planning on having an Easter lunch or dinner with them after church? Got kind of Easter lunch or dinner? Some of you got some plans? It is good to get together with friends and family to eat some good food, to share some stories. Love the story times. And I think what's fun, if you've ever had this experience, is when you have two or three family members around a table and they are telling the same story, right? You ever experienced that? And it could be like a hunting story. It could be the fishing story. Like, was the fish this big or was it this big? Right? We can't tell. It may have been a vacation story. It may have been a story about your crazy uncle who went to jail for shooting the neighbor's hound dog at 2 a.m. in the morning. Right? You got some of those stories in your family? These stories are always the best, especially when two or three members are telling the same story and they're telling it a little bit differently, right? Which oftentimes happens. Sometimes it's the details of that story that are just a little bit different, but often it's how people and family members and friends are framing the story that they're going to tell. And by framing it, you know, I'm talking about that stuff they say at the beginning of the story and the stuff they say at the end of the story. We might also call those bookmarks, or not bookmarks, but bookends, the bookends of a story, right? Like, for instance, how your crazy uncle shot that dog in the middle of the night because he lost his job that week and went especially crazy that week. And so one family member may have neglected to share that crazy Uncle Jed, you know, lost his job that week, which is why it happened. So framing the story in that way helps listeners realize that Uncle Jed wasn't crazy all the time, but he just lost his job and was a little temperamental that week. So this morning, I am preaching on the Easter story, but I didn't pick one of the Gospels to do it. It's not a Gospel story. I chose a reading from the book of Acts in the New Testament, which isn't one of the four traditional Gospels. Each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, provide a more detailed story of the resurrection than what's shared briefly in Acts. But I like how Peter frames the story of the resurrection for us. The book ends, right? And so you are welcomed, if you would like, if you brought a Bible, you can open your Bible up to Acts chapter 10. In the bulletin, we also have some notes in the center section. So if you want to take some notes today on the scripture, you can do that. But basically, I want to talk with you about how Peter tells this story of Jesus, but also point out the significance of how he frames this very short gospel story, right? So let's first look at how Peter initially frames the gospel story that includes the resurrection. We're going to frame it. Peter's framing it. Verse 34. In verse 34, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And so this is the one sentence Peter uses to frame his telling of Jesus' life and resurrection. Peter admits that he used to think that God was more exclusive about the people that he chose to follow him, to be his people. But now Peter realizes that God is much more inclusive than that. He's an inclusive God. Instead of just Jewish people, God gives everyone the opportunity to fear or respect him or to obey him or to do what's right. Now, here at First United Methodist Church, one of our values happens to be inclusivity. Happens to be something we believe strongly in. So naturally, I like how Peter's framing this, how Peter's framing the story, what he's saying. The idea that God desires for all people to turn to him and therefore our churches would be kind of all people type places. When I wrap this lesson up, When I get to the end of this, I'm going to come back to how important inclusion is to us here and how it's actually going to affect you all today that are guests. That as guests, you're going to get to participate in something here at our church that in other churches you might not get to, but at our church you are going to be included in. Okay? So, I'll get to that later. But after Peter begins to frame the story, he then tells the story of Jesus' life, which he simply shares in two or three sentences. He wraps up all of Jesus' life in three or four sentences here. In just a few sentences, Peter's going to tell us the where of where Jesus went in his life, the what of what he did, and the why he did what he did, right? And so in verse 37, he shares the where. Peter says, the province of Judea beginning in Galilee. Peter doesn't say it, but most people in those days knew where Jesus died. He died in Jerusalem, right? And so the where was beginning in Galilee, ending in Jerusalem. He then shares the what in verse 37 again. He says that Jesus was baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. Verse 38, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He did, this is great, this is how he summarizes Jesus' whole ministry. He did good deeds and he healed people, right? And then verse 39, Jesus died on the cross. And so there Peter quickly summarizes the what of Jesus did in his life. And then verse 40 says, but God. Friends, haven't we needed some but God moments in our lives where things were going difficult, they were challenging, but God intervened in our lives and stepped in and helped us? And so here in verse 40, we have a very important but God raised him after 3 days. And so in that short amount of time, Peter shares with us the entire gospel story. The where, the what, and then last, the why. Why did Jesus do these things when he came? Well, because verse 38 says, because God was with him. What we can do because God is with us. The fears that we can overcome because God is with us. The things we can step into in our lives because simply God is with us. And that's the most important why for Peter in Jesus' life. And friends, that's it. That's Peter's story of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. It is the where, the what, and the why. But then Peter ends by framing it again, right? Book ends of a story. You've got an intro and you've got this ending. And so the initial framing, the initial book ends about God is how he is inclusive to all people, desiring all people to come to him. But then Peter ends his framing by telling us how all people can respond to God. So here's how we respond to the story. Verses 39 and 41 simply say, we witness what Jesus did. We witness it. Peter was referring to the apostles, right? Their witnessing of Jesus' life and resurrection, they witnessed it all happen. But we too, church, we too are witnesses to what God is doing in our lives. And we can speak of the changes that have occurred because of the love and grace of Christ. Hopefully the love and grace of the church. And then in verse 42, he goes on to say, here's what else you can do. He commands us to preach and testify that Jesus is the judge of all. Friends, when we die, Jesus is the gate through which we must all pass through to get to the other side. Heaven. Whatever the other side is. Whatever it is. And friends, these are both kind of common metaphorical terms used in the Bible. Jesus as gate, Jesus as judge. Gate and judge. So we are commanded to let everyone know this, that Jesus is the gate, he is the judge. It sounds kind of scary that one person is gate and judge for the afterlife, except when we look in verse 43. Good news in 43. 43 says that it is prophesied that Jesus will forgive sins in his name. He is the gate. He is the judge. But good news for us, he is forgiving. And if you ask for forgiveness by his name, you will receive that forgiveness. So friends, if you're taking notes this morning, that's probably a good thing to write down, right? That it is by the name of Jesus that we are able to pass by the judge, through the gate, and into the next life. So once again, this is the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection told and framed by the Apostle Peter. What is Peter's story in Acts? It is the where, the what, and the why, very simply, of Jesus' life. How does Peter frame the story? He frames it in three ways. First, God is inclusive of all who fear or respect him and do what's right or obey him. Second, the book ends. We share the message that Jesus is judge. And third, and I think most importantly, the best news of all, we share that Jesus the judge will forgive sins in his name. And so after Peter, he frames a story, he tells the story, he goes on in verse 47, and he says more, right? And we didn't read this, but when Peter gives this very short, simple understanding of the gospel, this very short understanding of what we do to respond, the Holy Spirit falls on people and rattles them, and they want to respond. And so Peter, later he says this in the same chapter, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have, so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days." And so Peter offers everyone that day, everyone present, this, what we call the sacrament today, the sacrament of baptism. We end our worship this Easter by offering the sacrament of communion. In the United Methodist Church, we just have two most holy, most special ceremonies, that of communion and baptism. And so this is communion today. This is our family meal. It's a very special meal to us. So for those of you that didn't have family meal plans on Easter, yes, you do. Here you are. Here you are having the family meal. Now, we normally have the family meal the first Sunday of the month, but we knew we were going to have some guests here on Easter, some very special guests. And so we decided to wait and to bump our celebration of communion until you would be here. And so in the same spirit of how Peter frames the gospel story, we frame our communion here at First United Methodist Church. And I told you right at the beginning that I would come back to something, a way that you were going to be included that maybe you didn't know, but that we believe so firmly in inclusion here, that we wanted this with you. Communion at First United Methodist Church is open to everyone who wants to receive it. It's open to everyone who wants to receive it, just like Peter teaches. Communion at First UMC is open to you, and we don't set any conditions on it about who can or can't receive. You set the conditions today. You set the conditions. You decide today who you will follow, right? You decide today to be a part of our family meal or not. Some of you may decide not, and that's your choice. I don't know your background. I don't know different denominations you might be a part of that may restrict you. So that's fine. We understand that may happen. What we want to make sure of today is that you don't come forward to receive communion because you think you're not invited, from our standpoint, because that's simply not true. We frame communion the same way Peter frames the gospel. It's open to everyone, and you have an opportunity to receive and to walk in it or not, right? And so God has made it available to you today. We're making it available. You're receiving is, in fact, I will let you know this, you're receiving is today your testimony that you know that God loves you and that you love God. That's what's happening up here. And so my hope is that you today receive both this very important gospel message, the gospel story that ends in Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection with him, and that you receive communion today. today, and that you frame your life as one who regularly receives the communion meal. You know, for us, it's the beginning of the month. It's how we begin our month. And friends, you are always welcome to this table. Have you ever come into a house, like, what if it's in the fridge, you know? Like, our table is your table. Our table is your table. But if not ours, then I pray another table. I pray all of you have a table such as this that you can go to receive communion, to be a part of an important family meal each month. Because it is the regular meal where we do what we're doing today. And what we're doing today on this Easter Sunday is we are giving thanks for Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And that he invites us into all of it. He invites us into all of it. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this Easter. I thank you you inspire us, you speak to us, that we are reminded that what we are doing today is made available to all. That these are the gifts of the church to its own, to its communities. And so, Lord, I would pray, Holy Spirit, would you fall upon this time, and would you bless the bread and the cup, that those who receive it may receive a special anointing by you this Easter Sunday. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.